Right now, we have A.J. Schmidt. He's going to do two selections for us. He's a rising senior at Franklin Regional High School. We will talk with him in between his two selections. First, let's let him play for you. Here is A.J. Schmidt. A.J. Schmidt, and what was the name of what you just played, A.J.?
So that was part of the Bach Partita for Flute. That was Movement 3, which is named Saraband. A saraband is a type of dance, and a partita is typically a larger work, a couple movements long, that's a variation on one melody, and is multiple types of dances from that one melody. So there are other movements to that work that sound similar, but some are faster, one's another slower one. And it's just a really cool piece. And most flutists have to play it many times. So,
well, it was beautiful. When did you discover the flute as being your instrument?
Well, in third grade, we went to our little instrument petting zoo that they have for a lot of elementary schoolers, where you get to go and try all the instruments that you might want to play in fourth grade when you finally get to be in band. And I actually ended up, I wanted to play percussion, but I told the band director that, and he said, oh, well, there's no more percussion spots left, so you have to pick something else. And so my second choice was the flute. But my parents actually really didn't want me to play that because they were like, well, you're a boy, and I don't care if you play the flute, but I don't want other people to bully you because come on, you're a boy. But I was really just stuck on it. I don't know why, and I'm here now, so I'm really glad I did it.
And I'm sure you've done very well for yourself in terms of people not teasing you, or maybe.
Oh,
not.
Yeah, I've actually been fine. So.
Are your parents here today?
Yeah, they're outside laughing at me. I can see them.
Brittany and Judd Schmidt are here, Mom and Dad. Also, Barbara Heppner is here from Pittsburgh Concert Society board, and your brother's here too, and he's also a flute player.
Yeah, he is.
So you broke ground.
I did. Yeah.
You broke the brass ceiling, so yeah. to speak. Not brass, I guess, but what are flutes made out of?
Well, typically a flute is made of silver. It can be made of a ton of different metals, though. The most common is silver. Some, like, student end models are silver-plated, so basically just a fake silver, and some nicer flutes are made out of things like gold and platinum, but then it gets really, really expensive, as I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah, sure, can. It's a hard, all instruments are hard to master, but there's a lot going on with the flute, especially, I think, in terms of dynamics, being able to play with clarity at a soft volume. Mm-hmm. And at a louder volume. Mm-hmm. Did you find it challenging?
Oh, yeah. It's still a work in progress. Obviously, like, it wasn't perfect. Like, that performance, like, there's things that I would like to go back and fix still, especially with, like, dynamics. I was like, oh, there, that wasn't as clear, like you said, as I might have wanted it to be, but it's okay. And the way you work on them is similar, but you end up with a very different embouchure when you're playing loud and trying to not get an unclear tone versus when you're playing soft and trying to get a clear, more projecting tone.
What about, and I'm not sure if they're arpeggios or what the name for them is, but when you're, you know, doing the fingering that results in kind of a fluttering sound, that would require a lot of dexterity. I would imagine sometimes your head knows what you want your fingers to do, but your fingers might not want to cooperate.
Yeah, so those are common in Baroque music. They're not written into the music. You have to put them in yourself typically. And you just really have to plan them out beforehand. So you either have to write them into the music yourself or just really stick it into your head if you don't write it down there. And before you get there, you have to think about doing it and how am I going to play this in a Baroque style and still move my fingers quickly? Because sometimes when you're going too fast, it's like you do something called romanticizing the music, which is where you play Baroque, but in a different era, kind of, and it becomes inappropriate for Baroque music. So you do have to really watch out with like those flutters and stuff.
It sounds like you really have keen interest in the history of the music you're playing. Have you thought about what you might want to do after you graduate next year?
Well, after I graduate, I'll be heading to music school. Obviously, I'm not sure where yet because college applications haven't even opened. But, you know, I do have my schools picked out. But, yeah, I want to do flute performance. And if you're going to be a performance major, it's incredibly important to understand the history of the music, where it all came from, what era it's from, and that tells you how to play the music, how to interpret it correctly, because you can't play Bach and a composer that's alive today anywhere near the same.
That's really good to hear your perspectives on these things. I know you've probably had some teachers, coaches. Mm-hmm. Would you like to acknowledge them?
Yeah, so my primary teacher is Dan Peraski, so I really need to thank him for everything he's done to me. He's been absolutely amazing. I could not have asked for a better teacher that has a more efficient studio and just has helped me so much. Like, so thank you, Mr. P.
And what about your relationship with the Pittsburgh Concert Society?
Yeah, I do. I need to thank them, of course, too. For this opportunity and for the opportunity to take part in that competition, I feel like doing it has helped me grow as a musician because it's challenging and I need to really push my musical capabilities to, you know, place in it. So thank you very much for everything you've done, PCS.
Before you play your second selection. I was curious what else interests you, what else you like to do beyond music.
Well, you know, normal like teenage stuff, like I play video games and, you know, but I recently started fish keeping as something that's kind of outside of music. I like it's nice just relaxing, you know, watch the fish swim around. And
you mean having an aquarium
at
home?
Yeah,
or?
In my room. Very nice. You just kind of look at them and it's relaxing and a little bit of a reprieve from the flute sometimes if I need it. I also play a little bit of saxophone. I try and keep that out of like competition stuff so I can learn a completely new type of music, jazz, which, you know, isn't very common on the flute. So I didn't know it before I started saxophone. And I try not to compete with it. So then that way I'm not stressed out over that music. And there's music I can just kind of, you know, have around and not have to constantly think about.
Are you playing in marching band or high school ensembles?
Yeah, so I'm in my school's marching band. That's a lot of fun. Just very, you know, different style from what I'm playing right now, obviously, because I'm walking around a field when I'm doing that, not here. I'm also in the Pittsburgh Youth Symphony Orchestra. This will be my fourth year. I appreciate it so much. I've really grown from it. I've learned so much about playing in an orchestra, so much about other composers that don't write a lot of, like, flute music. So, like, Tchaikovsky, or Shostakovich, both of those composers really didn't write any flute solo music, but they're two of my favorites now after being a part of that.
There's some great jazz flute players, too. Not too many of them, but or too many well-known ones, but not to steer you away from classical, but there are a few, and it's amazing to listen.
They are really great. It's a different sound, and it's really cool, actually. I wish I was better at it.
Before we move along, this will be our last chance to chat this morning. Is there anything else you'd like to say that I didn't give you space to say?
Well, obviously, I need to thank my parents. You know, without them, I wouldn't have anything that I have now musically. They've taken me everywhere before I had my license, of course, and paid for everything. So I really appreciate them. And I wanted to introduce my next piece a little. It's one of the Astor Piazzolla Tango Etudes. These etudes were originally for flute or violin, but they've been stolen by about every instrument in the book. They're a type of etude that Piazzolla is really like famous for, called Nuevo Tango, which it means new tango. And it's basically a tango. He's from Argentina, which is where they originated, but with jazz and classical, jazz and classical stuff
genre
in it.
or treatments. Maybe.
Yeah. So that's the type of music he writes, all kind of Latin music for all kinds of instruments or orchestras or bands, and he's a really amazing composer.
Let me tell you, first, thank you in advance for being here. You have a remarkable gift, not just for playing music, but for explaining it in a way that helps listeners who might not know the depth, who very likely don't know the depth behind the composers and the style of music, explaining it in an understandable way.
Thank you.
You're quite good at that.
Thank you.
I appreciate it. And I can't wait to hear your next piece here. Get ready for some tangos. Is A.J. Schmidt. I'm A.J. Schmidt, thank you so much for being with us. What a great talent. And you can learn more about the Pittsburgh Concert Society at pittsburghconcertsociety.org.